everybody always. Becoming Love in a World Full of Setbacks and Difficult People. Author, Bob Goff. Becoming Love. Loving the people who are easy to love make me feel like I was really good at it. Because the people I love were kind and wonderful. They made sure they told me what a great job I was doing loving them. People who are becoming love see the beauty in others, even when their off-putting behavior makes for a pretty weird mask. We have to love everybody, always, and start with the people who creep us out. Find someone you think is wrong, someone you disagree with, someone who isn't like you at all, and decide to love that person the way you want to be loved. Love thy neighbor. We aren't only supposed to love our neighbors, but we should start with them. Because if our love isn't going to work for the people who live close to us, then it's probably not going to work for the rest of the world. Don't tell people what to do. Tell them who they are. Some of us have been told what we want our whole lives. We've been told what sports to go out for, what career to pursue, what people to date. None of it is mean-spirited, of course, and no one means any harm. Telling people what they should want turns us into a bunch of bosses and police officers. People who are becoming love lose the badge and give away grace instead. Tell the people you meet who they are becoming, and trust that we will help each other find the way toward beautiful things in our lives. Building castles. We actually build castles all the time, out of our jobs and our families and the things we've purchased. But we shouldn't spend our lives building castles. Instead, we should build kingdoms. You see, castles have moats to keep creepy people out, but kingdoms have bridges to let everyone in. Castles have dungeons for people who have messed up. Kingdoms have grace. There's one last thing castles have: trolls. You probably have met a couple. I have too. Trolls aren't bad people. They're just people I don't really understand. Here's the deal. It's how we treat the trolls in our lives that will let us know how far we are in our faith. Skydiving. In skydiving classes, one of the things they teach you feels counterintuitive. The parachute is connected to your harness by hundreds of small strings. When it opens, you're supposed to look up and see if the strings are where they're supposed to be. If there is just one string caught over the top of the parachute, they tell you to cut away the entire parachute, start free falling again, then pull the emergency chute. I remember thinking, are you kidding me? There's no way I'm cutting away an almost perfect parachute because one small string out of hundreds of them is out of place. It's good enough, right? Here's the problem. If one string is over the top, then the parachute will look like it's fine while you're up in the air, but you'll never be able to land it. You won't realize this until you get close to the ground and hit hard. The same is true with our lives. I've tried to fly my faith with a few strings over the top. Maybe you have too. It was colorful and looked good on the outside. While I knew I had a string or two over the top, the idea of cutting away everything and starting all over again sounds excessive to me. It sounded reckless and unsafe. But when we get the wrong things over the top of our lives, we might look good for a short time, but we won't land our lives well. If you have a string or two over the top of your life, cut it away. If the main parachute doesn't open up, and the reserve parachute doesn't either, you've got about 45 seconds before you hit the ground. The instructor added, after you hit the ground, you'll bounce, and it's the second time you hit that kills you. What is true in skydiving is true in our lives. It's usually not the initial failure that takes any of us out. It's the bounce. We've all hit the ground hard at work, or in a relationship, or with a big ambition. Whether we had a big public failure or an even bigger private one, the initial failure won't crush our spirit or kill our faith. It's the second hit that does. Be yourself. When we act like someone we are not, it's often because we are not happy with who we are. We might think we need other people's permission or love or approval before we can live our lives and pursue our beautiful ambitions. It's both good and bad. It's good if it causes us to want to pursue love and approval more, but it's bad if we miss out on who we are so we can't be who someone else thinks we should be. Keep playing your song. Whether we want to or not, we end up memorizing what we do repeatedly. It's the way we were wired from the factory, because this is how we are made. It's a great idea to pick actions worth repeating. People who are turning into love do this. They adopt beautiful patterns and surrounding imagery for their lives. They fill their lives with songs, practices, and habits that communicate love, acceptance, grace, generosity, whimsy, and forgiveness. The green lights. We've all had difficult times in our lives. Perhaps we were hoping a door would open or another would close. We are hoping something we desperately need to end would be over, or something else we want to start would begin. Most of us want more green lights than we have. It's easy to forget that our beliefs, life, and experiences are all the green lights we need. What we need to do is to stop circling the field and get the plane on the ground. We experience such circumstances to shape our hearts. Difficulties and hardship and ambiguity are what cause us to grow, because we are reminded of our absolute dependence upon our core values. Take that risk. There is no such thing as a safe life. Instead, we face the dangers and we overcome them on purpose. The moments we take even a tiny shuffle forward, we start to learn and know more. What big idea do you have that you've not pursued because you didn't know if it would work? Who have you wanted to reach out to with love but were afraid you'd be rejected? Who took advantage of you in a business deal? Who misunderstood you? Who do you need to forgive? Now is your time. Don't wait any longer. You know what to do. You know enough. My bucket. We will become in our lives what we put in our buckets. I knew I needed to fill mine with patience, so I bought a metal bucket, and I carried it with me everywhere for 3 weeks as an experiment. People on airplanes would ask if I had a bladder problem. Actually, I'd say jokingly, I do. But then I would say, I have an even bigger problem. I'm really impatient. I let them know how I use the bucket as a reminder to fill my life with patience every day. If we fill our buckets with a bunch of business deals, we'll turn into business people. If we fill them with arguments, we'll become lawyers. If we fill them with a critical spirit, we'll become cynics. If we fill them with joy, we'll experience tremendous happiness. And if we fill our buckets with love, we become love. Be not afraid. Kabi was head of all the witch doctors in his region of northern Uganda. He was the most evil person I've ever met. An 8-year-old boy, who we'll call Charlie, was walking home from school when Kabi abducted him. Kabi took Charlie into the bush, cut off his private parts, and left him for dead. But Charlie didn't die. Kabi was arrested a short time later. On the day of the trial, when it was time for Charlie's testimony, this 8-year-old kid stood up the size of a mountain, pointed at Kabi, and said, "That's the man who tried to kill me." Without flinching, Charlie gave the details of what had happened to him. This was Uganda's first case in which the death penalty was being sought against a witch doctor. The courage of a 4-foot-tall boy had changed the history of an entire nation. What is it you don't think you can do? What do you think is too big for you? Or too scary? Or too risky? Whatever your answer is, you really should know and can know. Whatever the volume, never be afraid. Kabi. It's easy to talk a good game about loving your enemies until you have one. I realized if I wanted big things to happen in my life, I'd need to take bigger steps and risk more than I had before. so I decided to visit Kabi in prison. He told me how bad he felt about what he had done to Charlie. Skeptical, I thought he was just sorry because we had caught and punished him. He told me what it was like growing up the son of a witch doctor and what witchcraft had done to him over the course of his life. Then he said something that stunned me. He said, "I know I'm going to die in here. What I really need is forgiveness." His words hung in the air. Forgiveness. For a witch doctor who tried to sacrifice Charlie. My immediate reaction was, absolutely not. But something inside me had started to change. Kabi and I talked about his family and what was important to him. I talked about my family and what was important to me. We talked about what I was learning but still didn't figure out yet about love and forgiveness. What Kabi and I are both learning about forgiveness is that none of us need to fully understand it to fully receive it. The intervention. Loving difficult people is hard. I'm still working on it. I'm sure it will take the rest of my life. The heavy lifting is worth it, though. Difficulties and setbacks will give us the chance to go back or lean forward once again. I'm convinced happiness is a bless. Knowing full well, all that will be left standing in the end is our love. I bet our spouses, kids, and friends are watching and will follow us.